Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the third and final hour of the program for today. I got Lenny Most Jr. with me. Normally he's here on Friday. This Friday, I'll be at the District Attorney's Celebration of Seniors out at Weitzel Westport. And we'll have a whole bunch of fun and interesting guests, including the District Attorney himself, at it. So I want to make a little different time, switch it up a little bit. Lenny's here on a Thursday at 11 and at 10 and 11 in the morning. Lenny, what have you seen in the news that's interesting to you? What do you think of the Democrat nominee? He won the primary yesterday, Plattner, for the U.S. Senate with all his controversies. What do you think of that?
I've been baffled at the support of politicians and people supporting such crazy, crazy issues and people. And but I got to tell you something. This thing in Maine, not much, I would say, surprises me, but this one surprises me. This is, I'm bewildered as to how these politicians can endorse them. I can't believe that Bernie Sanders would support him, and I can't believe that Markey would support him.
Right.
You know, I don't get it. There's nothing in my mind that I can say to even defend why they would want to support someone like that. Just get away from someone like that. Why
right.
do you want to bring these people into leadership
right.
with a history of and a track record of that? I mean, it's all there and documented. I mean, I I'm not of Jewish descent, mm-hmm. and I love all people,
sure.
and I certainly love and respect and feel very dear to the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Bernie Sanders, being of Jewish descent, could support that.
Right.
I don't understand it at all. I really don't.
Right. I get that. You have a number of Jewish members, some of the original members of the Aurora Club in Providence, as an example.
Listen, I love all people. I really do. Anybody that knows me, what I'm saying is sincere, Chris. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in the studio. I'm looking you eye to eye and saying that.
Right.
I mean, I remember being a young kid learning in history about the Holocaust, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of things we don't understand, and sometimes it's been explained that, you know, you would think you would act a certain way now, but if you were there, you wouldn't act a certain way.
Okay.
I've heard that explained about racial slavery and
yes.
things like that. And it always perplexed me how someone of their own, speak for myself, mm-hmm. being Irish, British, you know, mm-hmm. French, how they could betray their own people, you mm-hmm. know, and human beings. I mean, just human beings. I don't know how Bernie Sanders could support that person at all. I mean, you would want to reject that in its entirety. It's a totally repugnant candidate.
Yes.
There's no other way for me to describe it. There is no way.
Someone who puts the insignia of the Nazis, the highest level SS stormtroopers, tattoos that on their body.
Right.
And leaves it there for 18 years. And now wants us all to believe it was no big deal. And, you know, he's changed. And the fact that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey and Governor Healey are all going along for the ride is got to be disturbing to the run-of-the-mill Democrats.
Yeah, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying just Jewish people should
right.
be. And we're Catholic, you
yeah.
and I. I mean, we know the Ku Klux Klan and
right.
things like that for Catholic people. I'm not saying people of certain descent should be. I'm saying we all should be outraged.
Right.
The human race should be outraged
right.
at this. Enough is enough. How much more liberal bull are they going to keep trying to pump it
right.
at our youth and all of us, really?
Yes.
I mean, it's just too much. This is mind-boggling why you would support a candidate like that.
The fact that he so idolizes the Nazis that he would tattoo it on his body, okay? I've got one tattoo. It's a major commitment. You know what you get tattooed in your body. And the fact that he had it and he kept it for 18 years, he had such an admiration for the Nazis that he tattooed it on his body. That person should be read out of society, not given the power of a U.S. senator. Lenny, you know how powerful a United States senator is. They name judges. The president doesn't name a judge for a district if the U.S. senator in that district is against it.
Right. And so, listen, there's no way, shape, or form I would support that, and I would actually, I'm against it. That's why I'm speaking as right. forceful as I am. I'm trying to be as polite as I can on mm-hmm. your radio show. In a private conversation, I would be a lot more colorful.
Yeah.
But there's no way I'm accepting that. And by the way, I'm not accepting them for endorsing them either.
Right.
Because everybody's watching. The youth is watching. The country's watching. The yep. world's watching. These people are bad people. Why would you want to put them in any type of endorsement of yourself and your career? I have no use for that at all. Zero. I have zero. I'm not for those people at all for that.
Look, the guy not only idolized the Nazis to the point that he put a tattoo on his body and it was there for the better part of two decades, he also was outright declared a supporter of communism, which killed more people than the Nazis. In other words, I love that mass group of murderers, the Nazis, so much I put a tattoo on my body. But I'm going to outpace that by going with even more bloodthirsty group, the communists. Oh, and by the way, he served with honor in the Marine Corps in combat. He's torn all that away. When he says he wishes the Taliban had killed some American soldier that he watched a video of. I mean, the guy, not to mention all his weird sexual hang-ups, but my point is, he idolizes the most dangerous, bloodthirsty people in government to the point he puts a tattoo on his body, and now the Democrats have elected him to be their nominee. It's outrageous.
Speak against him. You have to speak against him. You have to be strong enough to do it. And you have to be of character to do it. And if not, get out of office.
Right.
And if not, we got to vote you out. I'm in office. If you don't like my position on this, you can vote me out. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not for that person at all. I think it's totally repugnant to support someone like that.
For Elizabeth Warren, our U.S. Senator, her twin, Ed Markey, U.S. Senator, the governor, Mara Healey, for all for them to lend the respectability that we, the voters, have lent them to this guy with a Nazi, formerly had a Nazi tattoo after having it on for 18 years, is really outrageous. We got a lot of people on hold. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How
What's
you
happening?
Doing?
Good morning.
Now, regarding Graham Platner, I understand that you're speaking from a set of rules you've known and guidelines along your life, but the Democratic Party is ignoring the value system because the goal is to get him across the line because it's a game to win, and it doesn't really matter what his tattoos say or what his sexual problems are. I mean, the Democratic Party in one fell swoop has taken the Nazi, appropriation to Trump off the table because they've said it for the last 6 years that we can't have a Nazi in the White House. We are anti-Nazi, but we like this Nazi. This is our Nazi, okay? And then, so that's off the table now, and the Democrats have also taken the Me Too movement off the table. They've got a number of women that, have complained about him, including his wife, and they don't care. So they've taken Me Too off the table. So, I kind of feel like every time the Democrats bring up a topic like Nazism or Me Too, it's all about the drama and it's not about the reality. I think that the reality is they'll do anything to win a contest because that's more important to retain power and money, or money and power, depending which order, than it is to than all of these supposed isms. So, it's pretty bad. And, he should have been disqualified instantly. And I'm sure that all the oppo research isn't out yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, you make an excellent excellent case as to why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of winning. I don't subscribe to those principles. You're right, caller. And I know you don't. I can tell by your tone and you're literally what you're saying. It's going to come to an end. This is going to stop. People are going to say enough is enough. This is how evil permeates
yes.
into a family, It permeates into our communities, into our nation, and into the world. And I remember, again, I'll refer back when I was a young kid studying in high school about the Holocaust. I couldn't understand how that could happen.
Right.
I really don't.
Right.
I really didn't.
Yes.
And I've lived long enough. And not only do I understand how it can happen, I'm watching it happen.
Right.
I'm actually watching it happen. It's got to be stopped. This is pure evil. I'm not going to refer to. I have friends like Sergei Khrushchev, whose father was Nikita Khrushchev.
Yeah.
Many, many years, many, many years and hours of the evilness of communism,
right,
and Stalinism, and I've heard it firsthand,
yes,
from him. I'm not going to refer to that as what's motivating my conversation here with you today and your audience, Chris. I'm talking to my upbringing of what my parents taught me,
right,
and they ingrained in me that to discriminate against people and let evil like that go against anybody,
mm-hmm,
any human being for any reason is 100% wrong,
right,
and not only shouldn't be done, it should be spoken about publicly,
yes,
and they should be ostracized for their,
yeah,
behavior, and that's what I'm trying to do today.
Lenny Mills Jr., I'm going to go to a clip. If you're on hold, stay there. This is our Senator Elizabeth Warren on campaigning for Graham Platinum. This is CNBC, the financial network, hardly a member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, interviewing our Senator Elizabeth Warren.
I did want to ask you, Senator Warren, about something else that happened last weekend, which is you campaigned with Graham Platner, who is ahead of that state's very pivotal Democratic primary. And I wanted to ask you about something you said. You said he's your kind of man. And I've interviewed you for a long time and watched your hearings and listened to your questions. You care about character. This is a guy that had a chest tattoo with a Nazi symbol. Okay, he apologized for it. It's a guy that reportedly wrote that people concerned about rape should take some responsibility for themselves and not get so effed up that they wind up having sex with someone they don't mean to. He praised military tactics used by Hamas, reportedly, in comments online in Reddit when they were murdering Israeli soldiers. So I'm just curious why you think he's your kind of man.
So, as you rightly point out, he has apologized. He's out meeting with the people of Maine every single day so they can evaluate not who Graham Platner was, but who Graham Platner is today. And let me tell you exactly how that comment came to be. I was describing how I didn't know Graham Platner from anybody, and I'm reading an interview with him, and he's asked, when did you first know that the game was rigged? And he harks back to the 2008 crash when 10 million families lost their homes, when 8 million people lost their jobs, when millions of people lost their savings, and when big banks cheated folks, when non-bank financial institutions tricked them, robbed them of their homes. And Graham Platner's answer on when he knew the game was rigged was when not one banker went to jail. And I said, that's my kind of man.
Okay. Well, I dig it next to a video of a bunch of terrorists killing five soldiers. I don't know. I mean, you guys want to be the party of inclusivity, right?
I want to be the party that stands up for hardworking people. I want to be the party that is transformative of an economy that right now is.
Anyway, that's our Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's a very skillful interviewer. Or interviewee, and dodges right past the Nazi tattoo as if it's no big deal. I mean, how do you get a tattoo on your body of a Nazi insignia, not just any Nazis, but the most vicious SS members, and then you're a senior senator supporting the guy, and you just dismiss like it's no big deal?
Yeah, and so she wants to push her agenda,
yeah,
obviously, and she's going to totally deflect, just like you're saying, deflect the issues. So what has he done to change? We all know people can change, you know, but they can't change their core values.
Right.
We can't change our. I can't, for example, I don't believe it's right to murder someone just to murder them.
Right.
So if I tell myself, it's okay to do it, I'm not, it's not going to be okay to do it.
Right.
So we're not hearing her explain that this man has had a life-changing event and he's because he hasn't had that.
Exactly.
Right? And she's not going to address that. But she immediately is a charlatan. She shifts to what she believes her constituents want to hear, and that's what she's advocating for, and that's what she's been doing for years. Enough is enough. Listen, you support that person, you shouldn't even be in office yourself, Elizabeth Warren, and anyone else that supports them, because that is pure evil.
Yes.
That is pure evil, and if they get enough control, we're going down the same road, which we're starting to embark on. We're going down the same road we did in the 30s in Europe, in the 40s, until the World War that ultimately freed us of that. And I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, I've lived long enough not only to see why it happened, I've lived long enough to see it in my own eyes happen in my own state. My own state, right here.
Yep.
She's from Massachusetts. Markey's from Massachusetts. The governor's from Massachusetts. How can you ever support an individual like that?
Right.
There's no room for that.
No, there shouldn't be any room for it. But as you point out, we're seeing history repeat itself. It's really, really terrible. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. If you're on hold, I will get to you. The break will be short. Stick around. More with Lenny Mose Jr. I'm Chris McCarthy. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the show. It's turning out to be a beautiful day out there. Hopefully you're enjoying it as well. We have Lenny Mose Jr. here in the studio. We're talking about this Senate race in Maine that was consummated yesterday when Graham Plattner won the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate. He actually beat she dropped out of the race, but she was still on the ballot. The sitting Democrat governor, Janet Mills, and now he's going to go up against a very middle-of-the-road New England Republican, Susan Collins. We get some people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Lenny, Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good. Guys, listen, does it surprise you, really? Let's go over history. The Democratic Party is coming out publicly what they believe privately in their whole history. They are the party of slavery. They are the party of Jim Crow. They are the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. They are the civil rights movement. Not one Democrat has voted for that civil rights bill.
Right.
Not one Democrat. Okay? So it doesn't surprise. And let's talk about anti-Semitic. Let's talk about the great Theodore Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt. He was known to be anti-Semitic. He was a president when there was a cruise ship full of Jewish people off the Florida coast. He refused to take them. They all ended up in Auschwitz. Okay, the only reason why he got involved in World War II was because his European allies were getting crushed. It wasn't because of the humanitarian of the Jewish people being slaughtered. They knew what was happening 2 or 3 years before. They knew about the concentration camps. He did nothing. He wasn't no friend of the Jewish people. So it doesn't surprise me, the Democratic Party, they're showing their true stripes. And you talk about the future, gentlemen, I think it's going to get worse. And I'll tell you why. Because they infiltrated all the school systems in this country. Our kids who have any knowledge of what true socialism is, what true communism is, how capitalism is the most best way of freedom in the world history. Mm-hmm. They know nothing of that because they take him as a small child and they just bring him right in. So, guys, it's going to get worse before it gets better until people realize. Right now, you know that these new kids have this thing that they say now, and it's true. They don't call it the United States of America. They call it the States of America. There's less and less every year that unites us. Our Constitution's supposed to like unite us, guys, but it doesn't. There's one half of our society that hates the Constitution, that hates what it stands for, that hates the Bill of Rights. They want total control. And so people realize that we're not going to fix this. And it might get ugly, but it has to get fixed.
Thank you for the call. Lenny?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I spend a lot of time down south, you know, in my lifetime, and I have a lot of friends from down south for obvious reasons, and that your audience knows by listening to me. When you get calls from your friends down south and they ask you what's going on up here on the East Coast mm-hmm. about this particular situation, you know that it's real, right?
Yeah.
It's real. This is right in our face. This is blatant. And you know, it makes me, you know, I reflect on the Commonwealth, how strict we are with, you know, all kind of laws and regulations for discrimination and, you know, any type of oppression against individuals and stuff. But yet we have the leaders totally disregarding that and supporting someone like this and sending a message not only to us but to the youth, right? Sending
yes.
a message to the youth that this is okay. It's something that it's going to have to get addressed one way or the other by the voters.
Lenny Mills is with me here in the studio. Lenny, you remember back into the 80s when David Duke, out of Louisiana, first got elected to the state legislature. Then he was going to win a congressional seat. But George H.W. Bush and the Republican Party came out heavy against him, even though it cost them a seat in the national legislature, Congress. They came out hardcore against David Duke because he's a Nazi.
Yeah, because in the final analysis, who cares about the vote?
Right.
Who cares about winning? Who cares about any of that? Because in the sense that it's not the priority. The
right.
human race is the priority.
Right.
And evil is in every one of us, including
yeah.
you and I sitting here. And it has to be repelled. And it has to be expelled at every turn. It rears its ugly head.
508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Lenny.
Good morning, sir.
You know, a few minutes ago, I think it was you, Lenny, that mentioned Bernie Sanders. And it made me think of something growing up my father would always say to me. He'd say, you know, whether it be Bernie or a Chuck Schumer or any of these contingencies of you know, politicians that are outspoken, you know, regardless of their surname, for these people, their politics is their religion.
Hmm.
You know, for the cameras, they may appear certain places and say certain things, but when you strip everything back, it's their politics. So, you know, they may have a Jewish surname or, but truly, you know, I don't know if these people truly are Jewish. You know, it's not.
Right.
It's hard for me to say that, but from someone who's watching this, you know, unfold, I don't know how you reconcile your faith with some of the decisions and some of the support that these people have shown in their careers. So
no,
that's all. But great conversation. I appreciate the back and forth. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. That gentleman once said to me, we were talking about a local person who's real radical communist who happens to be of Jewish ethnicity. And that guy said to me, hey, I know you're a Catholic, Chris, but you're more Jewish than that person, right? In other words, they're communists. Their religion is their communism.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. I mean, we're human beings. I keep driving the point home because
right.
it needs to be pointed out here. We're human beings before we're anything at
right.
all. And this here, whether you're Jewish or whether you're not Jewish or atheist or black or white or from another country or from anywhere you want to say you're from, this is wrong on
yes.
every level. And it's wrong not to talk about it. It's
right.
not. It's wrong not to out these people like Warren and Markey and anybody else and everyone else who's supporting this individual. This has to stop. It has to be nipped in the bud real, real quick. The people should not tolerate this. This is an outrage.
There are patriotic, God-fearing, God-loving Americans who carry the Democrat label and vote Democrat politicians into office. We know that. There's two great political parties in this country, the Grand Old Party, the Republicans, and the Democrat Party. Both have great traditions, great reputations, great histories. Obviously, we don't always agree with each other, but that's the way it is. And for God-fearing, patriotic Americans to have to, who wear the Democrat label proudly, to have to sit back and watch their leaders do this is absolutely atrocious. One of the worst things, like, these are individual politicians with tremendous power because of the office we've given them. But for the Democrat Party of Massachusetts, which just had their convention, according to Tim Dunn, they invited or allowed Graham Platt and his campaign to set up a table to solicit volunteers and money from their members who paid to go to the Democrat state convention, the one that they anointed Maura Healey to be their nominee again. Just absolutely outrageous. And by the way, according to Tim Dunn's reporting at the Boston Herald, the third most donations to Graham Platt's campaign are coming out of Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's such an outrage. Right. You know? it's beyond comprehension. But like your callers are saying, I'm saying that. You know? But it isn't beyond comprehension because we're living. It's right in front of our face. And so what are we going to do about it, right? Now what are we going to do? We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to bring it to the fore. Hopefully more and more people talk about it. Hopefully more people talk about it, even nationwide. The nation should be talking about this. It should not be accepted. This is pure evil.
Yep.
It's pure evil. And I will refer back to my days sitting with Sergei Khrushchev for some 23, 24 years. I can tell you that it gets a lot worse than this.
Yes.
You don't want to believe the history books. You may live it. You know, right. I'm not trying. You should be scared of this.
Yes.
This should be scary. This should be a passive conversation for the day.
And if you are an active member of the Democrat Party, your voice matters here. You've got to tell these leaders to stop it.
Yeah, because he's going to get in and he's going to attract people. Birds of a feather flock together. He's going to attract people like that. But what's more important to me, what I'm witnessing, is he's attracting and bringing out these people, their core beliefs, like Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. In other words, like your caller said about Bernie Sanders, his religion and his opinion is politics, right? It's calling it out. You're seeing it now. People, with how they really believe, mm-hmm. comes out when they least expect it. And this conversation needs to be happen nationwide so we can really ferret out this evil. This is bad stuff. This isn't, we disagree on where to spend $50 million.
Right.
This is bad stuff.
Real bad stuff. And look, again, when the Democrat Party had for years their leader in the Senate, Robert Byrd, who had been the Grand Cyclops, one of the leaders of the Ku Klux Klan. And they, Hillary Clinton, all of them, supported him and actually eulogized him. That was a real eye-opener, should have been for a lot of people. Make the safe choice this spring with Citywide Glass. Does your windshield have a big crack in your view? Did you go to bed with a perfectly fine car and wake up to vandalism overnight? That happens. Well, don't stress. Call the pros at Citywide Glass. They can repair or replace your auto glass quickly and safely. And their mobile tech team will come to you. Okay? Your windshield can actually be replaced while you're at home, sitting on the couch, at work, at your desk, or when you're on the job site, or even at the shopping center, at no extra charge. Life is busy. Let Citywide Glass make your auto glass repair easy. Citywide Glass, they're located in Dartmouth and Fall River, or online, visit them at citywideglass.net. Citywide Glass, make the safe choice. We'll be right back.
Phone. South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're having a great conversation here about all kinds of things that matter to people. And I know something that probably matters to you, and really it should, is cleaning up your yard and also kind of getting paid for it. Turn that junk car into cash today. At Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Again, Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Listen to this. Small car in your yard, $400 to $500 in cash. Mid to large size car, $500 to $600 in cash. SUV, up to $700 in cash. Full size trucks, up to $800 in cash. And it's very simple. All you have to do, call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508 675 800-516-7831. Again, very simple. No games, no waiting, just fast cash when you call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars, State Road in Westport. Lenny, there's a lot of ballot questions coming at us in November. The time to talk about them is now, much like we're talking about what's happening in Maine. That's all about November. But in November here in Massachusetts, there'll be a really interesting question about rent control. Putting rent control in as state law in Massachusetts. You're a developer. You own a lot of real estate. You understand the economics of what's going on better than most. Talk about rent control, why it's wrong, maybe why people might fall for it.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. And also, I'm a father.
Yes.
I mean, I'm also an uncle, and I have nieces and nephews and family members that are young, graduating from college. Some are just recently trying to, you know, rent houses and eventually buy a house. So I understand the full swing of it. Yep. I was young. I bought my first house, you know, when I was, you know, 24 years old. So I understand the full realm of it.
Right.
So rent control is not the answer. Because, I mean, if you listen to both sides, you understand from a developer side, they're obvious. The audience knows that, you know, right. But also from a renter's point, it sounds like, you know, maybe immediately they get some relief on rent increases. But ultimately, what good is having a rent relief, you know, where you can't increase it much with the control? And then ultimately, years later, when it's lifted, the rates go so high that you have to leave anyhow, and right. generations after you'll have to leave. So, yeah, it doesn't work. So how about this for an idea? How about the leaders, all of us, myself included, in each community, start thinking about how we can bring more businesses, more jobs to our communities so that people can make a better livelihood.
Yes.
And how can we better educate the people to do these things? And how can we make more affordable housing for people? You know, like in my community, you know, where we have a certain zone and everything, but there also is a need for more housing. For example, elderly in our town, we have zero elderly housing.
In Rehoboth.
Zero. So you get somebody like my dad who's lived here, bought land in 1964, built his own house. He's 91 years old this month, and he lives in his house that he originally built, and he's got full taxes. Yep. He has to fully take care of the home. He has a well, a septic system. And so not everybody can afford to do that, you know? Right. So ultimately, I see my friends and even my relatives have to move out of the community
because
there's nothing for them. So people have to think about that. They should think of alternative. That's that way. It's leadership. It's our job to bring that forward to the people and say, these things will give relief for rental. You know, rental pressure for increases.
You
got
to build your way out of it.
Yeah, and it's you got to work at it.
Yes.
You got to roll your sleeves up, and you got to explain it to the people and let them understand that these are the real solutions, not just, again, like I've said on your show so many times, tell people things just to make them feel better.
Right. We have a little bit of a clip from the Democrat mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Lenny, of course, the developer, investor, and a selectman out in Rehoboth, and a Republican. While John Mitchell is certainly a liberal Democrat and the mayor of New Bedford and not a developer, he feels the same way about rent control as Republican developer Lenny Mills feels. Here's the mayor of New Bedford from a couple of weeks ago. As the mayor, and you've been speaking out about rent control because locally you had some initiatives that wanted to do it. You vetoed it. It was in the city council. You vetoed it with a really interesting letter. And I thought it was dead, certainly locally, but they've got this ballot question statewide.
It's a statewide bet. It's coming out of Boston, of course. And
the governor's opposed.
The governor is opposed, and which is good. And she recognizes that it's counterproductive, right? And so, I don't think it has a lot of traction here in New Bedford, but we need people to come out and vote against it, because the reality is that it's a measure that will impose the same set of rules everywhere across Massachusetts, regardless of the conditions of the local housing market. It's a very different housing market here in Greater New Bedford than in Greater Boston, and yet it's Boston money that's behind this effort. And frankly, it's not consistent with New Bedford's interests.
But locally, we'll have economic illiterates promoting it. I don't think so.
On the city council, it didn't really have that much. If you remember, that initiative was packaged up with some other things.
Right.
So there was this grand bargain that it advanced in the city council that included rent control. But I don't think there, as it stands right now, there are too many councilors who are supportive of it.
Well, that's good news. That's good.
I think that's the case. But if we just knew, we need voters not to be fooled by this thing. And I think it's very easy to fool people with rent control measures because of its superficial attractiveness. We want rents to be lower. This will cap rents, period. Right? So, like, why, what's not to love? And the reality is that, no, it's a little more complicated than that, maybe even counterintuitive, but what it will lead to is less supply and higher prices.
That was the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell, a couple of months ago now, maybe weeks ago, talking about the rent control ballot initiative. Remember, he's a very progressive Democrat. And we have Lenny here as well. And the reality, even the governor, Healy, who's terrible, she realizes this is really bad for building more housing, right?
Yeah, it's being identified by the leaders. And so leadership, again, all of us have to say, it's not say it's good or it's bad and leave it at that. It's good and bad, state what it is, and then, like in business, what are the solutions? What are we going to try to? Just don't come to me in business and tell me what my problems are, because I know what my problems are in my business.
Right.
Come to me with my problems and some solutions, some suggestions. So leadership has to do that. We have to come to the back to our constituents and say, yeah, we understand you're struggling 100%, and we feel it. We get it. You know, we were young once. We have relatives that are young. We have friends that are young and are struggling. But here's some things that will give relief to rent. It'll slow down the increases of rent without having to artificially do it and tamper with the free market. Let's talk about how we're going to build some elderly housing and some more affordable housing, whether they're defined affordable by the Commonwealth or not, or just change our zoning somehow to try to make housing more affordable with a little more density. Each community is different, like the mayor stated. So each leadership can't just answer a question black and white and leave it for the people, because then, again, we're a ship without a rudder. We have no guidance, and leadership needs to guide and come up with it. It's hard to be in leadership. It's hard to be in business.
Right.
My brain never rests. My people go home, and that's it, and they work very hard, and they deserve their paycheck they're going to get today. However, my brain never goes off. I'm always thinking and stuff. And so as a politician, I bring that to the table. And I think it's important to do that with the people, because they want solutions. They just don't want to hear, okay, rent control ain't a good idea. Okay, we'll continue to play these great things and get less jobs, and people are moving out of the state, and our taxes are going up in Rehoboth and Seekonk, and no one's going to do nothing about it. That's just an asinine approach to leadership.
This hour is brought to you by the cold beers and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. All kinds of great stuff on the menu, and you can sit outside and enjoy this beautiful day when you go to Rose Alley in downtown New Bedford. Lenny, when you decided to start investing outside of the country, you went to the Cayman Islands, you looked at other places as well. One of the problems with other countries is you can't know that your real estate investment is going to be secure from a state takeover, a nationalization, which the Cayman Islands doesn't do, and America doesn't do, and Massachusetts used to not do. But that's kind of like what some of these people are looking to do, to basically take over control of other people's real estate investments, right?
Yeah, I mean, without boring people over 27-year, 8-year history, almost 30 years in the Caribbean, I have investments in other parts of the Caribbean at the time, not presently, but the challenge is like, just take like Jamaica, for example.
Okay.
Right? So there's been opportunities, and some of them I've worked on in Jamaica through the years. You have to look at the stableness or not of the government.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at the ownership, because a lot of times in the ownership of the land, it's a leasehold. So you might be able to lease it for 99 years or whatever the terms may be.
Okay.
And then you turn it back and your building's on it and things like that. But being stable and knowing what the future is very important. So hence the Cayman Islands became the place for me to invest, because
right.
it was British. It followed the same laws basically we have here. But it's a stable government.
Yeah.
And it's a progressive government. They're pro-business.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went there, I tell everybody it was 3 stories for condos, 5 stories for hotels. And whether we like it or not, we're pressed. The population went from, 20,000. Now it's almost 90,000. They need more housing, like mm-hmm. we all do. And Rehoboth, when I grew up, was 2,500 people. Today we're 13,500 60
right.
days ago. So we need more room for people. We need more things. So things have to change,
Yes.
And so people have to look at that. And time takes a while to change. But in the Caymans, they're progressive that way. And they change the zoning. And they raise the buildings up. And a lot of us, and myself included, don't like it. But I understand
right.
why
right.
they're doing it,
Yes.
And so they don't go out there and say, there's a price freeze on every time you want to stay at a hotel from now on. They don't go tell, the Ritz-Carlton and the Cayman Islands that you can't increase your daily rate or your weekly rate for renting out there when you and I vacation.
Yeah.
No, they change the zoning. More high rises go up with more amenities, and they compete with them, and the free market dictates it.
Right.
And that's what we have to do here. We can't think small. We got to think more progressive, whether we like it or not.
Right.
We have to lead the people. We have to try to help them
right.
and see where they want to go. Do they want to just pay more taxes? Do they want to just keep it the way it is and pay more taxes and become the community that they don't have today?
Right.
Or do they want to change it slowly and try to grow with the times and accommodate? I mean, it's a shame in Rehoboth that elderly people don't have any type of housing whatsoever. They have zero. When
right.
I say zero, I mean zero. There's zero.
Yes.
There's zero. That's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
508-996-0500. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. More with Lenny Mills Jr. here on a Thursday. Remember, tomorrow I'll be out at Weitzel Westport broadcasting live for the District Attorney's Celebration of Seniors. Please come join me. It's a free breakfast for seniors. A lot of great information. And be the last year that Tom Quinn hosts it. So it's kind of a historic event. I hope you're there with me. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. We have Lenny Mills Jr. as we finish up a Thursday program here. So, Lenny, you guys are not interested, but you're willing to hear from anybody in Rehoboth that wants to go along with this new law with the governor and the legislature to stay a little bit open, but nobody at this point has asked you.
Chris, could you help me what you're talking about?
So the fact that bars and restaurants can now stay open at 3 a.m.
We haven't had anyone approach us at all.
Yeah.
But we're open to it, to hear what it is, because, we have the ADUs in town, which is, we were talking at the break, that's mm-hmm. helpful in the town. We're mm-hmm. making some progress with that. Though it was forced by the Commonwealth, the town welcomed it.
Yeah.
And the ADUs can help elderly, they can help the parents, they can help whatever, but
right.
they also can be rented to anybody.
Yes.
So they can't be transitory uses. The town did vote that down, but,
So you can't use them for, like,
Airbnb,
and
stuff
okay.
like that. But we do have some, Airbnb, we do have some.
That's a
Airbnb.
Nice little business, or
yeah,
can be anyway.
In a community and stuff. So if there are clients that have that and they want to approach the board, I'm sure the board, I know I myself would be open to hearing their argument, in a positive way, sure.
The city of New Bedford is promoting the fact that they have the summer concert series, which is really nice, that you can have open containers a little bit, because that's in the law as well,
mm-hmm.
and outside drinking establishments, places like that. So the liquor laws in the Commonwealth, to me, they're doing this for the World Cup, but I think it's really about making some changes to long overdue laws that need to be changed.
Yeah, and we should keep looking at that and evaluating.
Yeah.
It's what we were talking about earlier. Leadership
yep.
has to come up with a way
right.
that they can bring more income and better jobs and try to improve the quality of people's living, not just charge them more taxes and have housing cost more and say no to everything.
Lenny, I appreciate you joining me.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll be broadcasting live tomorrow from Whites of Westport, free breakfast for seniors. Please stop by and say hello. I'll be broadcasting all morning long. Stick around.